puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
Fun fact unrelated to abandoned Manitoba, Bruce Layden is very good at whistling, and I challenge him to one day whistle that theme tune. I don't know how you feel about that. Hello, Gordon Goldsberg. Good morning.
Good morning, Nadia Kidwai.
So today we're mixing history with a modern day predicament.
Yes, indeed. We heard recently that the Hudson's Bay Company is going to close its flagship store here in downtown Winnipeg. And there have been a few people that have weighed in with how the building could be repurposed as an alternative to demolition, because I think that's the fear that is in many people's minds, is that it might suffer the same fate as the Eaton's building. So I want to share with the listeners my idea for a way to repurpose the old store in a way that honors its proud tradition.
I'm craning my neck because I can actually see it from where I'm sitting right now in the studio. Now, you say old store, but this is not the first HBC store in Winnipeg, is it?
No. In fact, the first HBC store in Winnipeg was at Upper Fort Garry, which, of course, listeners will probably know is located right across from the Union Station on Main Street. In 1880, the company moved out of Upper Fort Garry when they built a three-story store about a block away at the corner of Main and York. But the plans to open an even bigger department store started back as early as 1910. Now, of course, Eaton's had built a huge department store in 1905 that caused a lot of the sort of mercantile traffic to move away from Main Street over to Portage Avenue. And so gradually, Portage was becoming sort of the center of downtown retail activity. Well, I guess the Bay wanted to cash in on this, so they wanted to move their retail operations to Portage Avenue too. So the company began to quietly buy land for a new store in 1911, but the construction didn't start until 1925, 14 years later.
And what did the building look like?
It was a six-story reinforced concrete building that was constructed by the Winnipeg firm, quite a prominent one, of Carter Halls Aldinger, at a cost of $5 million. And of course, that was then dollars. Today, that would be equal to at least $73 million. And the interesting thing, too, was that although it was designed to have six stories, it actually had a foundation designed for much more. They could add another four stories as the need arose. The building site was just over 2 acres in area. But when the building opened in November of 1926, the store boasted 15 acres of retail space.
So did they just sell every single thing conceivable?
Oh, you'd have to think so. They used that space to sell every conceivable item that, you know, anyone could want, ranging from food to hardware to china, electrical products, sporting goods, fashions for every member of the family, furniture, jewelry, drugs, bedding, you name it. You know, and in fact, to get from the basement where they had the grocery department all the way up to the top floor, there was initially a bank of elevators. But in 1948, of course, listeners will probably remember, they supplemented them with escalators so you could ride up and look at things on either level as you went.
So what I find interesting is that it wasn't just products that they sold too, but services as well.
I didn't know the full dimension of this either. You know, the Bay offered such services as the storage of furs in a climate-controlled vault. If you had a fur and you didn't want it to deteriorate in the summertime, you could take it there. They had a post office. They had public telephones. They had a library. You could borrow books from the Bay. They had a museum. In addition, they wanted to feed their hungry customers, so they operated several restaurants, ranging from a quick snack to fine dining. But the one I found most fascinating is that in 1954, they built a two-tier parking structure with room for 450 vehicles on the south side of the building. And in fact, that was the first parkade on the Canadian prairies, all across the West. They added a third level in 1954, a fourth level in 1964. And I can remember as a little kid with my relatives going and driving in this weird thing, this almost this big layer cake of parking.
I mean, the words that come to mind are fancy and grand. It seems like a different world back then.
You know, yes, it was a very different experience because, of course, everyone was obliged to come downtown to do their shopping. But as you start seeing the growth of shopping options in the suburbs, the Bay store started to suffer the same sort of decline that ultimately doomed the nearby Eaton store. You know, so today, for example, the Bay only occupies 2 out of the 6 floors in that grand building. And of course, it plans to vacate the building entirely in February of 2021. And at that time, one of the largest spaces in the heart of Winnipeg is going to sit empty. Now, it can't be demolished because in 2019, the building received municipal heritage designation. And that was despite the opposition from the company. So I'm hopeful a new productive use of the building can be found quickly.
And you hinted about a possible new use. What do you have in mind?
There have been a few proposals so far, as I mentioned, but none of them have any specifics. They're sort of just generalities. I want to offer a specific use here today for something that I'm calling the Manitoba Memory Center.
And you heard it here first on the Weekend Morning Show. What do you have in mind? What exactly do you foresee with the Manitoba Memory Center?
Well, you know, memory is already conveyed by the location of the Bay Building in that the adjacent street is Memorial Boulevard. The memorial part is meant to convey memorial about people who have served in military forces. The old cenotaph is there. There's a number of other monuments. But I think we could continue that theme. More importantly, the building stands beside a very important connection to memory. To the immediate south of the Bay Building is the former Civic Auditorium. It was originally an indoor arena for the city of Winnipeg. Today, that building is home to the Provincial Archives and the Legislative Library. And these facilities, I would argue, represent the memory of Manitoba that is in the form of literally millions of pieces of paper that preserve all sorts of information about the province.
So what kind of documents are there there?
The collections there are vast. You know, we could spend days just listing them all. So I'll just list one example, the most precious one, I think, which is contained in the Archives of Manitoba. It's called the Hudson's Bay Company Archives. Essentially, it's a day-to-day record of the Hudson's Bay Company, which incidentally, I don't know if you knew this, it's marking its 350th anniversary this year. And that makes it one of the oldest companies in the world. In fact, over those 350 years, the company amassed a huge number of records about its operation in Canada. The Hudson's Bay Company Archives is so rare and precious that it has been recognized by the United Nations.
So then are you thinking that the Hudson's Bay Company Archives should be moved into the old Bay Building?
Exactly so. My suggestion is to turn the old Bay store into a state-of-the-art archival facility to host the Provincial Archives, and that, of course, includes the Hudson's Bay Company Archives. What better nod to the history of the company's flagship store here in Manitoba than to use it to house this world-class collection of material along with other collections of the Provincial Archives?
Why not just leave the collections where they are, though?
I can think of at least two reasons. One is that I think the reinforced concrete structure of the Bay Building is better suited to storing large numbers of archival documents than a retrofitted arena that they're in now. The other is that the Bay Building offers vast storage space. You know, presently, the large quantity of documents in the Provincial Archives, it is, in fact, the largest archives by a wide margin of anything in Manitoba, it can't be stored in its building. There's simply not enough room. In fact, a lot of the materials from the Provincial Archives are stored in another building elsewhere in the city. And this space crunch is so dire that the Provincial Archives is now being very selective at what it will accept, and it will only generally take government records, and as a result is rejecting records from private individuals. Moving the collections into the old Bay Building would hopefully allow all of the Provincial Archives to be brought under one roof, and more.
What do you mean more?
Well, the Provincial Archives is not the only facility with a space crunch. 3 years ago, I spoke to a group of 9 archivists that represent nearly all of the major facilities here in Winnipeg. All but one of them identified inadequate space as one of their biggest problems. You know, the City of Winnipeg Archives, for example, it's been described as one of the best collections of municipal records anywhere in Canada, and it's presently crammed into a totally inadequate space in an industrial warehouse. Well, why not move the City of Winnipeg Archives into the building too? The old Bay store could even offer office space for heritage organizations in Manitoba. So my idea is that the old Bay store could become a one-stop shop for heritage becoming in effect the memory of the province, and hence the name Manitoba Memory Centre.
So what would need to happen then?
Well, I think the provincial government should immediately convene a group of archivists, historians, engineers, architects, public servants, and business people to investigate alternatives for the bay store. They would determine what would need to be done to the building to make it suitable for archival storage of precious records, like those of the Hudson's Bay Company archives, and how funds could be generated to both create and then to operate the Manitoba Memory Centre into the future.
I'm really curious to hear what listeners think of this idea, Gordon. Thank you so much for coming on the show and telling us about that.
Well, I'm pleased to have the opportunity because I really hope that, something can be done useful with the Bay Building. And I think something that honors, say, that proud tradition as a retailing giant in Manitoba should be one of the options explored.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see how that plays out. Gordon, what's up for next week?
Well, I'm going to be a little enigmatic. We're going to talk next week about a class of building that from the very beginning provided a service essential to every community in Manitoba. Now, this service is just as important today, but increasingly it is being accomplished in a fundamentally different way.
Ooh.
And so next week, we're going to talk about a few former buildings of this type around the province.
Gordon, thanks so much for this.
We'll talk next week.
Time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons.